welcome to By The Min MFC 1 to 11. Today, myself, Busta, and Jay are joined by Motherwell legend Seb Dykstra. Welcome along, Seb.
Hello, good evening.
Well, Seb's chosen a 4-4-2 formation, so that goes well with Brian Martin and Kevin Twaddle, who have picked a team before him. Seb, it's over to you, and we'll start with your goalkeeper.
Well, obviously, I'm not going to pick myself, that's for sure. Well, I'm going for Billy Thompson because not only was he a very good goalkeeper, but beside that, was he a very, very nice colleague. Even when I got his place, when he got injured, he was always very, very supportive towards me. And beside that, what I said before, was he an excellent goalkeeper as well. And it was a shame, actually, because he deserved to be a first-team goalkeeper at any other club. But well, he chose to sit on the bench for two years behind me. So that said a lot about his person.
Can it sometimes cause a wee bit of tension when two goalkeepers are fighting out? There can obviously only be one victor in that case, one spot to play for. Can it sometimes cause a wee bit of animosity?
Well, I had it different at QPR because, see, when I first came to QPR, the goalkeeper at that time, Tony Roberts, he wasn't nice to me at all. That was very, very competitive. Nothing wrong with being competitive, but for example, you know, we were playing a friendly game, and Tony Roberts had to warm me up, and you know, he was kicking every ball in the top corner, and you know, that was not kind. See, Billy Thompson was a complete different goalkeeper. Even that he got his place lost to me. You know, he had to. He was very, very kind in that way. You know, with the warming up, he did his thing.
Yeah.
He was very good to me.
Move on to your left back, and we'll go along from left back to right back, and then your two centre halves. But we'll start with left back first.
Well, there's a lot of good in my career, but I have to say the one that stands out has to be Rob McKinnon, because you know, Rob, he could cover the whole left side. He played left back, left half, left midfield, left wing, and he was an excellent crosser of the ball as well. You know, I thought Rob McKinnon was excellent for Motherwell, and in my team, he's clearly the number one left back.
And your right back, Seb?
My right back has to be Eric Patterson from Dundee United. It was unbelievable, the determination and the graft he always put in games. And beside that, he was an excellent defender. And he also, like Rob McKinnon, covered the whole right side. And he could pass a ball excellent, and also a good crosser of the ball. So I'm going for Eric Patterson on the right back.
We'll move on to your two centre halves, Steve.
Well, obviously, it's the same story again. I've played with a lot of good centre halves as well. I'm going on the left side. It has to be Brian Martin, because Brian, he was strong as an ox. He rarely lost a fight in the air. Good on the deck, good passer, never panicked when he was on the ball. He clearly stands out for me as one of the centre halves. Then I'm going to the other centre half. It's going to be a difficult one because I had Miodrag Rivokapic, I had Luke Nyholt, Alan McDonald from QPR, Chris McCart, Stephen Presley. But the one I'm going for is Chris McCart, because Chris was also a great football player, great competitor, always wanted to win, and always gave 200%. And beside that, my relationship with Chris on and off the field was very good as well.
Chris has obviously went on to be coach at Motherwell and now currently a youth coach at Celtic. Have you been surprised that he's had a bigger shot at management? He's obviously was a big leader on the park.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure what the ambitions are from Chris. I don't know whether he is he's ambitious to become a first team coach. I know he's a youth team coach at Celtic right now, but I'm not sure whether Chris has the ambition to become eventually a first team manager. He has definitely the qualities and the leadership, the same as he had on the park as well.
Well, just I thought I would chip in and point out that it's probably just as well you picked Brian Martin because he picked you and his team. You were his goalkeeper and his 1-11, so that's quite good.
Yeah, no, I'm not big Martin because he picked me. I have fond memories about Brian and well, he's definitely for me the centre half.
Into your midfield, and we'll go left to right again. So we'll start with your left-sided midfielder.
Before, a lot of good players I've played with, but one of the guys stands out for me on the left midfield side is Davy Cooper. He was not only an exceptional player, but off the field, he was a gentleman as well. He was actually the guy who took me under his wings when I first came to Motherwell. You know, he took me out for dinners and he invited me at home for dinner. And he was a great guy.
See, but it was perceived when David moved to Motherwell that he moved for a quieter life, a kind of more relaxed way of life. Did you get that impression during his time at Fir Park?
No, not at all. I learned Davey as a very determined football player. He always wanted to win if he was on the park. For Davey, it doesn't matter. It didn't matter whether he was playing Premier League or first or second division. He always wanted to win. That was the kind of person he was.
We'll move on to your two central midfielders.
Well, one of the central midfielders has to be Paul Lambert, because Paul obviously was a very gifted football player as well, and especially in his last season for Motherwell, I thought he was actually a player of the year. He was exceptional. He made so many goals, and he was a very, very important part of the team. And you know, it ended up him moving to Borussia Dortmund.
Don't see many Scottish players moving abroad and being a success. Did it take you aback a wee bit that Paul Lambert was such a success at Borussia Dortmund?
Well, it didn't surprise me at all because I've trained and I've played with Paul for 3 seasons, and I saw in training and in games that he was an exceptional player. So it didn't surprise me at all when he did really well at Borussia Dortmund, and I think he got Player of the Year as well his last season when he played for Dortmund.
What about his position? Because he seemed to sort of change positions. No, he didn't really play so defensively for Motherwell.
You could play Paul as a defending midfielder or offensive midfielder or right, left. It didn't matter to Paul. He was that gifted as a football player. What I noticed about Paul as well was he was very good at positional play. He knew exactly where the ball was coming. He knew exactly when he had to pass the ball to his teammate. So from that point of view, I think that Paul is definitely one of the best midfield players I've played with.
And who would you have alongside Paul Lambert in the centre of your midfield?
Well, it's There is a lot of midfield players I've played with, which I think are very, very good and are contenders to be in my first 11. But you cannot skip Phil O'Donnell, because he was an exceptional player as well. He could run up the park all day, and he had such a stamina. It was unbelievable. But beside that, Phil was also a very good, intelligent football player. Again, the same as Davey, Phil left us far, far too early, and it was a shock to me when I heard the news about Phil. I was actually on holiday in Egypt, and I was really devastated when I heard the news about Phil, an excellent player.
You obviously played in goal for the Motherwell team that took on a Celtic 11 in Phil O'Donnell's tribute match. That must have been a highly emotional occasion, but one that will live with you for a very long time.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it was a fantastic game to play in, because so many people paid tribute to Phil, and rightly so. We got a great reception from both Motherwell and Celtic fans, but it was heartbreaking. It was very, very emotional that day for me. That's for sure.
Your final winger, I know I'm a wee bit kind of all over the place in the structure I do this in, but your right-sided midfielder?
My right-sided midfielder, has to be Andy McLaren, because, you know, Andy McLaren was also an exceptional gifted player. He could play right midfield, he could play right wing, he could play up front, he could play anywhere in midfield and up front. He was very versatile, and he could score goals, he could give assists. So from that point of view, Andy McLaren has to be in my team.
Funnily enough, I've actually read Andy McLaren's autobiography, and it talks very candidly about his problems away from football, but he also kind of talks about the humour he enjoyed at United, and a few stories with yourself where he was a very outgoing guy and very, whereas you were a lot more relaxed and quiet, he describes. Mm. Is there a few good stories relating to Andy McLaren over your time at Dundee United?
Well, one night we went out with the team, and all of a sudden, I cannot remember the name of the nightclub we went to, but all of a sudden, Andy McLaren was away. We couldn't find him. Then we went outside, and he was somewhere with two girls messing around. That's the type of guy Andy was. You know, didn't see him the whole night.
we'll check with the podcast lawyers before we put that out there, okay?
He was a good guy. He was a really good guy. But the problem with Andy was, you know, if he really liked booze, and. Sometimes it was hard for Andy, you know, to leave the booze alone, which was a shame, really, because I think maybe if Andy would have taken professional football a bit more serious, he would have played on a higher level. I mean, in the Premier League in England, or at Celtic or at Rangers. I'm convinced about that.
Yeah, I'd actually seen an interview with him recently where he's tackled his demons head on, and he's now doing a lot of work in his local community related to football. So full credit to him for coming out at the other side. He was always a player that the opposition fans, particularly Motherwell fans, gave him a very, very hard time. But I think that's a kind of sign of respect sometimes as well, that you don't give stick to rubbish players very often, that's for sure.
Mm. No, I know. You know, Andy actually deserved a lot more. But as I said, you know, it was a shame to see sometimes, you know, that Andy couldn't leave the booze alone. But apart from that, he was an excellent guy. Also off the field, he was a very kind and warm person. But as I said, it was a shame that he, you know, that he had that kind of problems off the field.
You'll have a variety of strikers to choose from, ones that you'll have faced in training and possibly given you a very hard time on the training part, but assets to your teams. What would your front two be?
Well, that's going to be a really, really hard one. Because obviously, I've played with a lot of really, really good strikers. But I have to say, the one that really stands out has to be Les Ferdinand. I've played with Les, obviously, at QPR, and I've not seen a better header of the ball than Les Ferdinand. And, you know, his shots were venomous. He could shoot with left and with his right foot as hard as possible. You know, it was unbelievable. Beside that, Les was a really goal scorer, and he could set up goals as well. So for that place, for that one place, I'm going for Les Ferdinand.
Yeah, he had a fantastic career in the English Premier League. Didn't he? He scored a number of goals at the highest level. A very successful career.
Yeah, I mean, he was picked for England as well on many occasions, and I think, you know, when my last year when I left, or just before I left to Dundee United, he was sold to Newcastle for a record 15 million transfer fee.
Right. I think he was the number 9, and then Alan Shearer came in, didn't he?
Alan Shearer, that's right. No, I'm confused. Alan Shearer was 15 million. I think they paid something like 6-7 million pounds for Les Ferdinand, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think that's right. Ferdinand and Shearer, it was a frightening strike force, that's for sure.
Oh, unbelievable. He did really well, Les, and I think at one time he was the top scorer behind Alan Shearer, I guess. But it was a really, really good striker, Les, and I had the privilege to play in the same team as Les Ferdinand. My other striker will be, well, it's a difficult one as well, because Dougie Arnott was a very good striker. Tommy Coyne was a really, really good striker. Shall Olofsson, who I've played with at Dundee United, he was an exceptional striker. But he was actually a left-sided player. But I have to pick one, and I have to go for Dougie Arnott. Because Dougie, not only a very, very gentle man off the pitch, but also a really dedicated player on the pitch. Great goal scorer. He just needed a half chance, you know, to score a goal. Quick, good in front of the goal. So he scored many, many important goals for Motherwell. Remember Dougie scoring the goal against Falkirk, which kept us up in the Premier League. I remember Dougie nicking a goal at Parkhead at the time that Fergus McCann just took over. And we won 1-0 there at Parkhead. So also, Dougie found memories of him. And, well, he has to be my other striker beside Les Ferdinand.
Commonly known as the scourge of the old firm, Dougie Arnott, he really had a knack of scoring on the big stage, didn't he? Guys like Richard Gough really didn't like playing against Dougie Arnott.
Yeah, I don't think Richard Gough, the likes of Richard Gough and the Celtic defenders fancy playing against Dougie Arnott, because he was always a handful. No matter which defender was playing against Dougie Arnott, he was just such a handful for his opponents. And as I said before, great goal scorer, and he would dig in for his teammates, and he would not lay down to graft for his teammate. So I think Dougie is rightly up there.
Just to conclude, See, but is there a standout for captain in that, and amongst that 11 that you've just given us?
Well, probably Chris McCall, because, you know, Chris, he was just such a leader. I think he rightly deserves to be the captain on the team, because I think he is a born leader. And to be fair, I would not be surprised if Chris in the future would be a first team coach at a Premier League club in Scotland, or maybe even in England, that he would take on the club.
Steve, I would like to thank you for both your podcast and your 1-11. It's been absolutely fascinating. It's brilliant catching up with guys like yourselves who we sometimes don't get to hear from very often, and it's been really good.
Well, I really enjoyed it, and you know, I would take the opportunity to wish the whole Motherwell family all the best for the next season, and hopefully good times will return, and I hope that Motherwell could give it a go for European football next season.
Thanks again, mate. We'll hopefully speak to you very soon.
Okay, no problem. You're very welcome.
No problem, Steve. Thanks very much.
Yep, cheers.
Okay. No problem, cheers.